Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously. This is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode number 39 of Thinking Outside the Long Box with the Long Box guys. My name is Thomas Strange, and this is a big episode for me because the person we're going to be talking about is one of my absolute favorites. Not one of my friend's favorites. Josh, how you doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
We're going to be talking about a character that you don't particularly like today, so just breathe deeply and think of England. And also joining me today, of course, is my good friend Tommy. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing,
good,
Tommy?
Good, man. I'm doing great. And down in the desert swamp that is Louisiana, how you doing down there, my good friend Mike Manning?
I am outstanding today. I have been messing with a scam artist who called me saying I was under investigation by the IRS. So I've been demanding that Donald Trump release his tax returns before I pay the IRS any money.
Yeah, so we all like to play with people who call us at inconvenient times. Josh, you did that today yourself, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I had a ton of fun with people who had decided to troubleshoot my computer, so I gave them a call and lured them into a 45-minute trap.
I like to pretend I'm a pirate, and if someone tries to sell me something over the phone, I say, "What's in it for pirates?" And the rule is they can't get off the phone if they think they can make a sale. So I'm like, "I'm a very interested pirate. Don't just hang up on me."
So for all our listeners, if you guys want to mess with this guy, his phone number is 843- 637-2846. Tell him Mike sent you.
What if you're really under investigation, you idiot?
The IRS does not call you to tell you you're on an investigation and demand that you give him your Social Security number.
All right, well, let's call this guy, everybody. But don't give him your Social Security number.
They're much more of a show-up type agency.
Oh, he's in for it now. The Long Box Legion, as we call our many, many fans, is going to be all over this guy.
Or we could use one of our segments to call him tonight.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe we should.
Oh, now that would be a tangent and a half.
We'll have to do that later to get the equipment set up.
Yeah, but before we do all that, let's talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, and that is Dr. Stephen Strange. I love Dr. Stephen Strange for a number of reasons, not only because I'm actually married to Dr. Strange. My wife is Dr. Elena Strange, so every night I get to go home and cuddle up with Dr. Strange. Be jealous, everyone. Be jealous. But we're not talking about my wife, Dr. Strange. We're talking about Dr. Stephen Vincent Strange, also known as Dr. Strange. First appearing in Strange Tales 110, dated 1963, he was a famous neurosurgeon who gets in a terrible car accident and his hands are badly injured. He searches the world for a cure for his injured hands, seeking medicine at first and then going to other known, faith healers and all of this. And eventually he finds his way to the Ancient One. After becoming one of the old Sorcerer Supreme's students, he becomes a practitioner of the mystical mystical arts, as well as the martial arts. Along with knowing many powerful spells, his costume has a cloak of levitation. It has the Eye of Agamotto. I think I'm saying that right. Which gave him powers. And he has a valet, Wong. I'm going to talk a little bit about Wong later in my social justice segment. And he has one of the coolest superhero pads of all time, the Sanctum Sanctorum. Now, Dr. Strange has been on a lot of different teams over the years, including the Defenders, the Secret Defenders. I'm sure he's been an Avenger because everyone's been an Avenger at some point. And he was also part of the Illuminati. Dr. Strange is called in mostly when there's a mystical threat. to our world. He's best suited not at fighting aliens, but at fighting interdimensional demons and the like. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite stories, so no big reasoning into that. We should mention that one of his biggest nemesis is Baron Mordo, who, like Doctor Strange, was a student of the Ancient One, where they both learned the ancient ways of the mystical arts. But Mordo, being too egotistical to be an apt student to become Sorcerer Supreme and the supreme protector of our planet, became bitter and angry at the Ancient One, trying to kill the Ancient One numerous times, only to be thwarted by the brave and wondrous Doctor Strange. Is that a pretty good summation, guys?
Perfect.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Now, let's go to someone who likes Doctor Strange first, and I'll ask my good friend Mikey. Mikey, what's one of your favorite runs of Doctor Strange?
Well, if you're going to somebody who likes Doctor Strange first, you've gone to the wrong person.
You don't like Doctor Strange either?
He's not in my top 1,000 superheroes, but he's okay.
Oh,
he's,
wow.
I do have one series. I never got into him as a kid. I've tried a few times picking up different issues of Doctor Strange. Never really caught with me. I didn't mind him really when he was on the Defenders. His run in the Secret Avengers has one quintessential moment for me where Betty Banner had become a Red Hulk and they were trapped and they had to get bust out of this prison. So Strange whispers something to her that infuriates her. She tells him to never talk to her again, but she gets so angry she is able to break them out of the prison that she's in. So that was kind of good. But if I'm going to go with one thing, they don't say it. I don't know. It's kind of like whatever the Watcher whispered to Thor. I don't know, but it was filthy. Doctor Strange.
I thought that was. Wait, the Watcher whispered that to Thor?
It was Nick Fury.
Nick Fury.
It's not like a Watcher doesn't have. Yeah. A Watcher has a lot of dirt on us, but not like Nick Fury does.
So anyway, Doctor Strange currently has a ongoing series in the Marvel now called Doctor Strange. And it's being written by Jason Aaron. Pretty entertaining. The thing I like most about it is the Sanctum Sanctorum. You get to take a little peek behind how creepy and deadly it is and how he saves the world constantly without people actually realizing it. I also like the fact that in this series, Strange, every time he casts a spell, he suffers for it. So Doctor Strange can't eat normal food. But they also cut away to a monastery. They don't say where the monastery is, but it's a group of monks who every time Doctor Strange casts a spell, it causes damage to this reality, and they're the ones who are suffering from it, so Doctor Strange can continue to defend this realm from the magical forces. And Wong had set it up. I don't know if Doctor Strange is even aware of
Doctor
all these
Strange
monks being...
is not aware of it. Because this also was the book that I picked for this week.
Well, then you go ahead, LT. I will stop talking. Tell us all about
it. So I read The Way of the Weird, the first 5 issues of that Doctor Strange series. And in it, Wong has a whole group of monks that are devoted to taking the damage that Doctor Strange would normally take from doing the magic, and they are he is totally unaware of the monk's existence. He just thinks that, you know, it's magic, and somehow he survives it. He doesn't realize that someone else is paying the price for everything he does. But I really did enjoy this series of Doctor Strange, but to me, this isn't really a Doctor Strange book. To me, I've always thought of Doctor Strange as a very serious character who's very driven. You know, first he was driven to become one of the best surgeons. Then when he lost the use of his hands, he was driven to find a way to get back to that place where he could use his hands again. And this character of Doctor Strange is more happy-go-lucky. He's more like, well, you know, stuff happens, weird stuff happens, and I fight the evilness, and let's get on with it. you know, it's very lighthearted, which I don't think is a Doctor Strange trait. But that's just my take on that Doctor Strange.
Well, your take is wrong, and no one likes you.
Just Mike, what do you think?
I concur with LT.
I think it's a great book. I just don't think it's a great Doctor Strange book.
I'll agree with you on that one. It doesn't seem like all the other Doctor Strange that I've read. But again, I haven't read all the Doctor Strange.
It is a little bit out of the norm. I'll give you that. And it's definitely out of the norm from some of the original Doctor Stranges when he was a very serious character. I think the fact that he's been living in the Sanctum Sanctorum so long and taking so much magical damage, you know, has caused him a lot of pain. Mike, you said something interesting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say the one thing I really do like about Doctor Strange is his arch nemesis Dormammu. Just because I like saying the name.
It is fun to say Dormammu. Now, you mentioned kind of quickly that, you know, he takes all this damage and he can no longer eat normal food. What does he eat? I must have missed this.
You're going to have to read the series. It's a bizarre LT. What was it? It was some.
It's all kinds of weird stuff that he gets from his fridge. Most of it
it's
having
like
to
living
do with
creatures.
Magic.
Yeah, it's like otherworldly.
Because he has to be in touch with the magic. So he has to actually ingest magical things. And there are all
I missed like two issues. Yeah, I missed like two issues of that run when I moved from Tennessee to Boston. So I think I'm missing like issue 4 and 5, maybe 4, 5, and 6. So I'll have to catch up on that. I'm going to talk about my favorite run, which isn't actually a Doctor Strange run at all.
Your dog does not agree.
My dog does not agree. He hardly ever agrees with me. It's not a Doctor Strange run at all. It is the Defenders. I like him on a team, and I like him on this particular team. Defenders 1971. He teams up with a great cast, including the Son of Satan, Luke Cage, Hellcat, Valkyrie, Nighthawk, Gargoyle, Beast. Just a great mismatch of characters, and... It's a great, there's great chemistry, there's a lot of fun, and it's a very powerful team. Looking at issue number one, you got the Hulk, Submariner, and Doctor Strange. Those are some pretty heavy hitters. And the Defenders, oddly, you know, didn't take on some of the biggest bad guys. You know, they did sometimes, but oftentimes they were actually fighting street-level guys, which seems like you're using a bazooka to kill a fly here, doesn't it?
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do to fight crime.
Sometimes you got to do what you got
to
do.
You use bazookas to kill flies because flies are irritating.
Flies are irritating. So that's my favorite. Now, Josh, you say you don't even like Doctor Strange that much at all, except for my wife, of course. What's your favorite run?
Yeah, I don't actually have a favorite run. I think my issue with sort of the Doctor Strange types are that their powers and abilities are so unmeasured that they get out of situations in too convenient ways. You know, just being able to basically manipulate reality to do X, Y, and Z is just a little too convenient for me. And then, it just doesn't appeal to me in that way that he's just not defined enough for me, I guess.
It's true. Like, sometimes he can just pull out a magical mallet out of nowhere that pretty much is a cure-all. I've always wondered why, you know, Doctor Strange has been able to teleport, you know, all the way across time and space. When the Hulk was doing World War Hulk, why not teleport the Hulk to the center of the sun? I mean, obviously, it seems like he can do that, right?
I don't know what he can do. Nobody will tell me, for sure.
It's magic.
It's magic.
Precisely.
And
too vague.
Just because it's magic, yeah. Just because it's magic doesn't mean it's easy. All right, I think that's one of our shorter ones ever because two of you guys didn't even like the character we picked. But regardless of that, I'm very excited about the movie. You guys excited about the movie?
I am excited about the movie. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah,
the movie looks terrific to me. So.
And I loved Inception, so I think I'll enjoy this movie.
And let's not forget, there could be the greatest convergence of all time. It could be Cumberbatch playing Stephen Strange. It could be Robert Downey Jr. Playing Iron Man on the screen at the same time. And aliens could be attacking the planet. And Bruce Banner can say, hey, look, aliens are attacking. And they can both turn slowly and look at him and say, no shit, Sherlock. That would destroy the Marvel Cinematic Universe for me. That would be the greatest thing.
That was a long walk, Tom. For that
a long walk for sure.
Thread, I hope you had your Fitbit on for that joke, because that was a long walk.
That was a long... Let's see, I'm up to 19,581 steps with that joke alone. You don't think that'd be great? I think that would be great. It's just me. It's okay. It's just me. We'll move on. Mike, what do you got at the front of the long box?
At the front of the long box, I have Deathstroke, the newest DC Universe Rebirth title, written by Christopher Priest, who, if you listen to my Black Panther rant from that episode, how much I loved Christopher Priest. He's doing the same thing that he did with Quantum and Woody in Black Panther. He's telling a non-linear story that jumps from different time periods. You're never quite sure where it's going to go. It constantly twists and turns, and I'm really enjoying it. It seems like he has made Deathstroke the straight man for this, and Wintergreen, his faithful, somewhat, partner, is more of the dry wit of the series, but really enjoying it so far. It's got so many twists and turns, though. Every time you think you got a handle on what's going on, another twist comes up. So really like it. If you're going to read this comic, I suggest you buy them and then hold on to them and binge read them, because that's the best way to get through it. Otherwise, if you read it month to month, you're going to have to go back and reread the previous issue to figure out, okay, what just happened.
All right, that sounds like a great one. What year was that again?
It's going on right now. So they're on issue two.
Wow, issue two just started up.
Yeah, so if you're going to jump on and just collect the book, then, again, wait for it to build maybe 12 issues or so, and then just binge read them.
All right, I'll do that. Because it's driving you crazy waiting?
I have to go back and reread the... I had to go back and reread the first one. I'm like, wait a second. I'm not following this. Sorry, I got to go back. I read too many comics as it is.
I'm sorry. It's because it's such a Gordian knot that every time you pick up a new one, you have to go back.
Exactly. I don't want to just cut it. I want to actually understand it.
Good luck with that. That sounds like a rough one. There's been very few comics that have been so complicated. I had to reread and reread every time a new one came out. Lock and Key, I had to go back a couple times.
Lock and Key is
just to make sure
comic.
I got it all. It's a great comic. It sounds, you know, doesn't sound like that comic, but it sounds as complicated as that. Tommy, what do you got in the back of the long box?
I am going back pretty far this time. I am going back to Submariner number 22 from 1970. In this issue, the Submariner is unable to breathe water because aliens have changed him. So he goes to Atlantis to have a risky operation done to once again have his gills opened up so that he can be a water breather like his brethren Atlanteans. And when he comes to, Doctor Strange takes over the Submariner and uses the Submariner to fight off some demons that are trying to open an extra-dimensional gateway to let the Nameless One into our universe. And it is Submariner and Doctor Strange fighting demons the entire time. And it was a great little read. So in keeping with our all Doctor Strange episode, I decided to pick this comic.
I would imagine that Namor was not happy that Doctor Strange took him over.
You know, the strange thing is, Namor didn't really seem to care that much. So, and I think it's because he really was a little shocked by all these different things becoming demons and just being trying to deceive him. But he really didn't seem as uppity as Namor usually is.
Yeah, it seems like that would really piss him off. He doesn't like being
He does not like being controlled. He doesn't even like being influenced.
Yeah. He doesn't even like being asked what he wants for dinner.
But you know what they say. Once it's magic, it's all good.
Is that what they say, Tommy?
Well, I don't know. The only thing I can explain is that Doctor Strange had to use a spell on him not to be pissed at him forever. Because otherwise, he holds a grudge.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He just rolled a natural 20. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And thus, the power of magic.
That's why Doctor Strange has to eat slugs for breakfast now forever, so Namor doesn't kill him. I would buy that.
Exactly. Exactly. That is exactly it.
Well, in today's little segment that we usually title Social Justice and Civil Rights in Comic Books, we're going to talk a little bit about the manservant Wong. Wong first appears in in Strange Tales number 110, but was unnamed for 9 issues. He doesn't even get a name until issue 119. Wong is Doctor Strange's manservant, and not only is he Doctor Strange's manservant, but he comes from a long line of manservants. He's actually the 10th Wong to be the manservant to the Sorceress Supreme. Long story short, Wong's family got into the business right as the first Ancient One came into being to protect our reality. So all the firstborn males are given to the monastery and are trained in martial arts to be the protector of the new Sorcerer Supreme of Earth. Wong not having a name for 9 issues is problematic. And also, his first appearances are a little problematic when it comes to being very stereotypical. And his manner of speech and everything definitely has an arc to it. At first, they were, you know, the stereotypical, you know, Asian style of hackneyed stalking, dropping the R's, dropping the W's. But it's evolved quite a bit over the years. Wong has definitely come into his own, even branching off into other comic books. He, when Spider-Man lost his spider sense for a while, Wong was able to chain Spider-Man in the Way of the Spider, which is an excellent, read. Tommy, you read that, didn't you?
No, I didn't read that one.
Josh, you must have read that. Spider-Man is like your favorite.
I do enjoy Spider-Man, but I do not recall that.
It's a great run. Spider-Man loses all of his spider sense. He doesn't lose anything else. And it comes to pass that he learns that when it comes to his fighting style, he's been relying way too much on his spider sense. So Wong has to teach him spider-style kung fu. And there's a montage, and it's awesome. Wong, at one point, Doctor Strange is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth. He totally loses it, and Wong, not very tearfully, starts bidding his farewell, saying that, well, I guess I gotta go, because, you know, him and Doctor Strange have a complicated history, sometimes a little even adversarial. And then Wong realizes that he forgot to pledge to the Sorcerer Supreme. He instead pledged to Stephen Strange. So he was still Stephen Strange's manservant when Stephen Strange was no longer the Sorcerer Supreme. And he was not happy by in the least. It was hilarious. He'd do whatever Stephen Strange said, of course, but he'd grumble under his breath and swear at him. It was a great little run for me. And also some of my favorite Wong stuff.
Wasn't Brother Voodoo the Sorcerer Supreme for a while?
He was, but he didn't have a Wong because Wong had erroneously pledged to Doctor Strange. So he didn't get a Wong. He got cheated out of a Wong. Just saying. Cheated out of a Wong. Wongless. It sucks. Wongless. So there's probably some underlying racism there too. I'll have to look into it. How come Brother Voodoo couldn't get a Wong out of it? Another really fun one for me was Doctor Strange, powerless, was living at the Avengers Manor, and they were saying that they needed someone to cook and clean, and Dr. Strange said, oh, I can take care of that. And Tony Stark goes, oh, man, we can't have you cooking and cleaning. You used to be the Sorcerer Supreme. And Dr. Strange kind of looks at him, like, kind of angry, and goes, it's all right. I got a guy. So Juan comes in and becomes the new Jarvis for a while, which I thought was great. So that's my little bit on social justice and civil rights. The evolution of the character Wong. Do you guys like Wong?
I do like Wong. Yeah, he's kind of always in the background of the Doctor Strange stories, and he just kind of keeps Doctor Strange afloat in daily life.
And alive in a lot of instances. And he also takes a lot of crap. He became a vampire for a while when Dracula turned him. I think he was a werewolf at one point. He's had a couple of bad romances with demons and extraterrestrial beings that tricked him into thinking they were women. Wong's had a hard life. But I guess I kind of went off on a tangent there. And that's your domain there, Josh. Josh, take us out on a tangent, will you?
So this week, Elon Musk, one of my favorite crazy rich people, has sort of revealed more plans for expanding spaceflight into and near to Mars.
I've already started putting away $200,000.
Yeah, the $200,000 ticket sometime in the 2030s for the start of the colonization of Mars. Well, Tom, I guess I already know the answer to my question. Would you consider it?
Dude, $200,000? Fuck yeah. Every married guy on the planet's putting away money. Just kidding, Lainey. What about you guys? I would definitely consider it.
It would be one way to break my Comixology addiction.
Dude, you can get Comixology in space. Come on, man.
I don't know, man. Probably won't be that much broadband.
Yeah, the pages will load slow. You'll still get it. It's, you know, 26 minutes or so.
A page, that's fine. I can wait that long. Just download them at night. How about you, Mikey? Would you go to Mars?
No, if I can't bring my dog, I'm not going anywhere.
Well, I mean, the event for that 15-year window for that $200,000 is the start of colonization. So you might be able to bring your dog.
It's true.
Mars needs dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my dog doesn't like to leave the house, let alone planet.
But, I mean, your dog's a little bit of an agoraphobic. I mean, it's a small space capsule, that might be perfect.
Yeah, it's true. He'd probably love it in there.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. It's like, what do you crate dogs?
Yeah.
I don't crate my dog, but, you know, other dogs.
There isn't a crate big enough anymore to crate my dog. Damn monster.
It's a shipping crate.
Yeah. Do you remember the last time we had to crate my dog? The crate fit. He's 140 pounds. The crate fit on the back of a truck, barely. The thing was bigger than my first apartment. Damn dog. Just saying. Just off on a tangent on your tangent, sorry. Is that everybody? Tommy, you'd go.
I don't know that I would go.
What the hell do you got going on Earth?
So many medical issues involved in space travel that I just don't know. I would miss all my good friends who are not going.
There's no such thing as space diabetes. I looked it up. I just Googled it. No such thing.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a cure for diabetes up there? Screw that. I'm going. And I'm bringing a case of chocolate.
Yeah, Mars is made of cupcakes.
Yeah.
That Amish donut place has a franchise right on Mars.
Right there.
Right there. They get there on a horse and buggy. It takes a while, but somehow they're still fresh.
If there's a cure for diabetes on that flight, I would so go.
Well, it seems like whenever people are in space, they're always killed by space blank. You know, space madness, space diarrhea.
Space herpes.
So space herpes. Since there's no space diabetes, I figure there'd probably be no real diabetes. I'm just thinking outside the long box here.
That's right.
Do a shot every time we mention the name of the show. I might be. Josh, you'd go, right? I mean, fudge.
Oh, yeah. I would be on that ship in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you were also the guy where I went, hey, man, I'm going to become a professional wrestler for a couple of years. You want in? You're like, oh, yeah. So I like that about you. You're agreeable. All right, so I guess that brings us over to...
Do we have an interview?
Yes, we have an interview with Dr. Strange.
That's right. We're going to have an interview with Dr. Elena Strange, my wife, who's very involved with the 100 Girls of Code, not only here in Boston area, but also back in Tennessee and all over the United States. So let's go to that interview with my beautiful, beautiful wife. Yes, she is gorgeous. Dr. Elaina Strange, take it away.
How did you become Dr. Elaina Strange?
Well, I got my PhD from Dartmouth College up in the Great White North back in 2006. And then probably in 2008, my husband, Tom, who you've heard on this very podcast, he and I decided to change our last name because I didn't want to have his and he didn't want to have mine. So we made up a new one. He's the one who came up with it. It was all Tom's idea. He gets all the credit. He came home one day and said, hey, we should change our last name to Strange. And so we went to the courthouse and got it officially changed, and we became the Stranges.
Now, you have quite the sleeve of Dr. Strange going on right now. Were you a Dr. Strange fan before you took the name?
I was not. I had actually never read any of the Dr. Strange comics before I changed the name. But, you know, once you have the name Dr. Strange, I just think you have to embrace it. You just have to go all in.
I got you. Yeah, that makes sense. So now, as a doctor of computer science, what are you doing right now?
I'm teaching computer science at Tufts University here in Boston.
Oh, so you're kind of back home.
Back home, back where we both come from.
Ah, nice. And now you are involved with the 100 Girls of Code. Could you explain to our listeners what that is?
Yeah, 100 Girls of Code is this wonderful organization. It's a national organization that has chapters all over the country, and its goal is to achieve gender parity in computer science and STEM fields. And we do that by putting on workshops and introducing computer science to girls when they're still young, ages 10 to 18, to teach them about programming and computational thinking and to hopefully get them inspired and encouraged to study this really powerful thing. And the Boston chapter, the Dr. Strange chapter, as I like to call it, is just getting off the ground. We're hosting our first event at the end of October, and we're going to teach some JavaScript drawing and animation.
Awesome. What are STEM fields?
STEM fields, science, technology, engineering, and math. So that whole group of things where we have both women and people of color underrepresented.
And why do you think women and people of color are underrepresented in these STEM fields?
You know, it's one of those things where I think there are so many reasons. It's really hard to put your finger on any one thing. I think in particular computer science, we suffer from this idea that it's kind of a meritocracy. Like, we set the rules and we set the bar so high, and if you clear it, you're in. If you pass the questions, you pass the test. And that's not always going to be exactly true for everybody. People who are outsiders, who are not so well represented in the field, are going to be less likely to self-select into leadership roles or to try to experiment and try new things and sort of take gambles when they're in the middle of a project, which is what computer science is all about. You try something and you see if it works.
I think it might also have to do with role models. I mean, you grow up looking at, you know, your people in your family and look and see what they do for a living. You kind of model yourself in that mode. If you're already underrepresented in a certain field, then, you know, that's going to perpetuate it.
Absolutely, 100%. And I grew up in an era where not everybody had a computer at home. And when it was really common for if there was a computer in the household, it would be the brother who would sort of stick around and play with it, and not the daughters in the house. And I think that has really long-lasting impressions on people.
Right. So let's say I've got a niece who I love deeply, and I want her get her into coding. What do I have to do in order to find the local chapter of 100 Girls of Code?
Well, you would go to 100girlsofcode.com, where all the chapters are listed. If you're local here in Boston, you would go to our very first event, which is on October 29th at Tufts University. But all the chapters are listed. They all have regular events. They're usually on a Saturday, and we do some coding. We have some friendly competition, and we usually have a guest speaker who's a professional, a girl of code herself, to talk about her career path and demonstrate all the different ways that you can be in a creator of technology, that it's not all just sitting and programming, right? That's not what computer science is. And we like to show them all kinds of different things.
Awesome. So when you say it's 100girlsofcode.com, is that the number 100 or is it spelled out 100?
Excellent question. That is 100, the decimals.
Okay. And do you have to already have some base knowledge in programming in order to join?
Oh, absolutely not. We are totally newbie friendly. We welcome girls ages 10 to 18 with any background and experience level. Any background and experience level. And it's free to register. And we want to see lots of girls coming to all of our events.
Excellent. Now, what if somebody doesn't have a chapter near them? How would they go about trying to get a chapter?
They should totally start one. So if someone doesn't have a chapter near them, there certainly are other resources besides 100 Girls of Code. There's plenty of other organizations out there. Girls Who Code, NCWIT, the National Center for Women in Information Technology. But it's also an excellent idea to start your own chapter. If you reach out to computer science teachers, people who are in the field and passionate about the subject, because we're everywhere, I bet you can get one going.
Awesome. Now, let's talk a little bit about Tom.
If we must.
You are incredibly intelligent and incredibly beautiful. Let me ask you this one question. Why Tom?
He's had me under this low-level hypnosis for quite a while. He's been working on this skill. It's pretty amazing. And he cooks.
That's true. I heard you, despite being a genius, are not good in the kitchen.
Yeah, the last time I tried to cook was actually during grad school, not long after I had passed my qualifying exams and was feeling pretty smart. I was actually cooking, and I managed to get second-degree burns on my feet. Had to go to the emergency room.
All right. How does one burn one's feet when one's cooking? Were you cooking on a pile of hot coals and decided to walk over them?
I was boiling water. I think I was trying to make spaghetti, right? You would think anyone can make spaghetti. But I had this pot of boiling water and I somehow knocked it over and it just landed all this boiling water right on my feet. And I was wearing very thin socks. So it sort of held in the water, but didn't protect my feet.
Yeah, that sounds painful. All right. Well, thank you very much. So again, before we go, tell everybody about the Boston chapter of the Girls of Code.
The Boston chapter is launching up at the end of October. You can find us on Facebook or on 100girlsofcode.com. Please come and send your daughters and nieces to the event. We would love to have them, and get in touch with me if you want to volunteer.
All right. Awesome. Thank you very much, Dr. Strange.
Thank you, Mikey.
That was a great interview.
That was a really great interview.
I cannot believe she
girls
married
code.
You.
The 100 Girls of Code seem like they're doing such good work.
For a quick bit of insight for everybody out there, when we got married, her last name and my last name, neither were actually Strange. My name was Thomas Harley Davidson, and when we got married, I wanted her to become a Harley Davidson, but she did not want to be Dr. Harley Davidson. So we both chose a name we both liked, so we both changed our name to Strange when we got married, because not only am I a very progressive guy, but also being married to Dr. Strange is awesome. And
awesome.
I don't remember if she mentioned it during the interview. I hope she did. But she has the entire Doctor Strange origin story tattooed on her arm. How cool is that?
It's pretty cool.
It is pretty
cool.
You guys
have seen comics.
She doesn't really read comics. She likes the Marvel universe. She wants the cinematic universe. But she's not terribly into the comic books themselves. I haven't found one that she likes yet, which, you know.
What about Girl Genius?
She didn't like Girl Genius.
She didn't.
She did. She didn't. She doesn't really. Yeah.
I'll find
give it
one
a shot,
for
man.
Her. What does she like other than code?
You know, I'm going to give her March. I don't know if she's read March yet. She might actually like that. She likes biographies. She likes nonfiction more than anything else. We'll find something, guys. We'll put our heads together.
Yeah,
I mean between the three of us, we have like 9 degrees, right? We should be able to figure something out. And if we get Lainey on board, the number of degrees goes way up. So that brings us to plugs. Anyone got anything cool to plug this week?
I would like to unplug Omnicon. We received word that Omnicon's not going to happen at all, which saddens me greatly because I was looking forward to it in the spring.
Wait, Omnicon's totally canceled?
Totally canceled.
Yeah, it was actually too many people wanted to go to Omnicon, so they had to cancel because it's a small library. They couldn't handle the number of people who wanted to attend.
Well, but you don't have the space. You don't have the space. And if you don't have the resources, it's hard to do it.
All right, well, we've unplugged something, so I'm going to plug something in retaliation. And that, of course, is our Twitter page, which I love plugging, which is outside the long box, at the long box, guys. On there, you can see our funny tweets. You can tweet us about any questions you have. And every once in a while, you can see a meme or one of us in our cosplay costumes because, you know, we look terrific in those costumes.
Terrific.
We do. Josh, you look great as Iron Fist. We gotta get you out there more as Iron Fist. You look terrific. You have a great costume. And, of course, with me as, you know, Luke Cage, we look great together. Just saying.
It's true.
And if you want to see...
A second cause. What? Go ahead, Mike.
If you want to see more photos of us, you can go to our website also, thinkingoutsidethelongbox.com. Or, excuse me, wrong.
Outsidethelongbox.com.
And there we have links to our podcasts, talks about our panels, along with links to reviews of our panels. We also have a whole section on Friends of the Podcasts, where we have links to their websites. We have bloggers that we love to read, like Tony Isabella, the comic book Femme Fatale, and the Nolan Nerd Couple. More podcasts that we love, like Movies Made Me, Black Nerd Power, and Neek the Podcast, and a whole bunch of comic book stores that we also love to shop at. So you can go check it out at OutsideTheLongBox.com. What else can they check out, LT? Oh, that's right. Lucky Bastard at OutsideTheLongBox. If you email them, the Lucky Bastard will select a winner. What's this month's prize?
We are giving away Dr. Atlantis, graphic novel of Dr. Atlantis. This is a great comic book for most ages.
Excellent. So...
And remember, we will sign that or not sign that, depending on what you want. If you're thinking of reselling it, you better not have a sign it for you.
But we are always happy to devalue it. Yes.
We're always happy to devalue your comic book by signing it for you.
So,
Josh,
that's...
anything to plug? Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, just again, that's Lucky Bastard at OutsideTheLongBox.com. We also should thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music. And we should also thank Victor Dandridge from Vantage In-House Productions, who let us use a page of his excellent child-friendly comic, The Kindergartians, for our new logo.
Yeah, it looks great, too. I'm really glad he let us do that. He's a great guy. We love that guy.
It's true. And Kindergartians is a great book. And while we're plugging things, we should probably plug IanLino.com. IanLino.com. Purveyor of fine t-shirts, another geeky.
Yeah, his stained glass stuff is excellent. He's actually got three new ones that he's going to be displaying at New York Comic Con. So if you want to check that out, you should go to IanLino.com and see his stained glass work. It's very good, especially you Whovians.
Ooh, a little foreshadowing there. How about you, Josh? Anything to plug away at?
No, nothing. You guys covered it all.
Ah, you suck.
No,
all right.
You suck.
Well, no, you suck.
It's getting dirty. Let's move on.
Yeah, moving on. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week, guys. I love you, and I'm sorry we didn't pick a comic book character that we all loved more. Next week, we'll definitely have to do something we all love a lot more than just one of my favorites, Doctor Strange. And remember, don't waste time dissing what you hate. Just promote what you love. And Josh, I forget, is this your sector?
This is certainly not my sector.
And Josh and Mikey, what's outside the long box to you?
Ridiculous, for no apparent reason.
Yay! All right, love you guys. See you next week.
suck, the day is long. We pass the night beneath them. We all have debts we leave unpaid. It's the weight of the swamp that you feel that's pressing on your back. And the house you build is yours to break. What good is cake if you can't eat it anyway? When the yellow comes around like a whisper hanging in this town, and nothing here is quite like what it seems. All the yellow kings.